somebody.
Blog Talk Radio.
I said, did you ever see an SNL sketch from the 80s where there's a pumpkin, they just start carving a pumpkin and it bleeds and they take out the guts, but it's like human guts that come out of the
no.
Like from the Joe Piscopo.
That's terrible.
Cast. Yeah. That's what I was looking for an image of and I can't find it anywhere.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they've deleted most of the Joe Piscopo.
Well, it was tail end of this way started being like Phil Hartman. I think that
audio's good.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landing.
Was that good? Did you hear that audio, by the way?
Yes.
It was all right.
Welcoming you to the Metal Injection live cast. Somehow, Dave Mustaine is still feuding with Nick Menza.
And then when I'm talking now, can you hear me?
Yes.
And then I'm still talking. Can you still hear me now?
Yeah,
all right. Cool. So we're pretty good to go.
I don't have my soundboard up. Hold on. There we go. Can you test this?
Yeah.
The fan. Everyone hear that?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey,
live casters. What was that?
Our YouTube page?
Oh.
Mikey people.
It's just a Ozzy.
He's saying making
many
people.
Making people happy, I think, or something like that. And we were just like, and Sid was like, "Who's Mikey Bibble?"
I like Mikey Bibble.
Mikey Bibble.
It doesn't get old. It really doesn't.
It really, yeah, it does not at all.
There we go.
Oh, it's nice. All right. Wow, I really can't hear the clicky clacky of my keyboard. All right, so excited. Let's start. Going live. Hey, everybody.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington. welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Somehow, Dave Mustaine is still feuding with Nick Menza, even though Nick has been dead for 4 years. There hasn't been an Italian food-based vendetta this long-standing since Sid got diarrhea at the Olive Garden, that one time. Come on, Sid, let it go. You have diarrhea all the time. Don't blame the breadsticks. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Yes, sir. Don't blame the breadsticks.
It's all their fault.
But blame the Metal Injection Livecast. Welcome to an all-new edition of the Metal Injection Livecast. I guess they're all old new when we start them, when we begin recording them. And we're very thankful to be joined by a very good friend, a good friend of the show who goes back to, like, episode 6, Axel Rosenberg from Metal Sucks.
Hey, everyone. So you finally did it. You finally killed Noah. I mean, I knew it was only a matter of time.
We did kill Noah, and we sent a clone of her to the desert somewhere in New Mexico or California. I don't know. That's
sure. Where
is this the beginning of Cure Rob?
I should introduce the rest of us. I am Rob. And I'm
Robinon.
Robinon, and I'm here with Sydney and Darren. I didn't have any paranoia puns.
Listen, alliteration always, it can run out. The well can run dry. You pick it up next week. That's all.
Yeah, thank you. And if you have any alliterations, you can give us a ring-a-ding-ding. Our lines are back open. 213-WIDENUT is the number. That's 213-943-3688. The lines are blowing up already. Who is us at 213 Wide Net? Hello, you're on the air. Oh, and they hung up. Nice. I like it. Don't be shy.
We're off to a good start.
213 Wide Net is the number. It's the Metal Injection Livecast. And as Chuck Blandington alluded to, and as Axel Rosenberg is noting in his lovely background of his video, we have some new fun Dave Mustaine stuff to talk about. And I feel like there's no character study in the world of heavy metal that we here at the Livecast enjoy more than Dave Mustaine. And I think if anybody enjoys picking apart Dave Mustaine's brain as much as we do, it would be you, Axel Rosenberg.
I love it. I mean, even as a kid, he fascinated me. I knew something was not that. I knew he was very talented, but something was not right.
Yeah. And so we've been talking in the last few weeks about how Megadeth, or Mustaine specifically, has released a new book. He got a nice new cash out advance from a different publisher, I'm assuming, or maybe the same publisher, which just was like, hey, let's put out a new product. And the product was a History of Rust in Peace, which by many is considered their best album. And so I guess the book is written like in oral history form, and also uses interviews with Marty Friedman and Nick Menza from back in, like, not interviewed for the book, just interviews they've done in public, and like uses to fill in new quotes from Dave Mustaine. And of course, Dave Mustaine has been going around doing publicity, talking about how, like, as we've been talking about on the show, I think we talked about Marty Friedman's response about how the Rust in Peace reunion never happened. And of course, he had an excuse for how it was everybody else's fault but his own. And it was with Marty Friedman, it was that he wanted too much, which what he wanted was first class airfare, and he wanted to be paid enough where it would be worth it not to tour on his own, because why would he give up his personal business to, like, do Dave Mustaine this favor if he's not paying him well? And then also he indicated that Nick Menza wasn't up to the task of playing Megadeth, and he pointed out that it wasn't him who thought that, it was David Ellefson who thought that, which was like, oh, so David Ellefson is the one who makes the decisions in the band, apparently. Now, Axel, when you were hearing these things that Dave was saying, what were you thinking about? What was going through your head about?
I mean, I don't, again, I'm not taking anything away from him as a musician. I want to be clear. but I don't consider him a credible witness just because he is, as I said on Metal Sucks today, self-plug, he is the boy who cried innocent.
He's the boy who cried what?
Innocent.
Oh, innocent, yeah.
Like you said, nothing is ever his fault.
Yeah.
Which can't be true because he's a human being. We all fuck up.
And, we actually have someone on the line. The lines are blowing up. 213 Wide Nut. Is this Dave Mustaine? No, it's a New York number.
Yes, it is.
Is it Elektra?
Who do we have on the line?
Hello?
Yes, 646. You're on the line.
Hey, it's Eric from Brooklyn.
Hi, Eric. Oh, Eric. Hey. Long time. How's it going, Eric?
Hey, how's it going? I was just calling in to ask you guys about the Borough Park protest from last week.
Oh, okay. Yes, we can shift topics from one of our favorite conversation starters, Dave Mustaine, to another one, which is Hasidic Jews, Orthodox Jews, and we've talked a lot about them. And now, it's pretty crazy what's going on in the Orthodox neighborhood here. There's a revolt. There's a revolution. Of Orthodox lives that they would argue matter. There's like these protests against COVID and how like the lockdowns are being anti-Semitic because they're not allowing the synagogues to practice because they cram 200 people into this tiny room and none of them wear masks and there's big outbreaks in the neighborhood. And they don't understand why the government is being unfair to the Orthodox Jews. Did I get that right?
Just mention Heshy Tischler, please. Just say that name. That's just a crowd pleaser.
Who's Heshy Tischler?
He's leading the revolution. He's the rabble rouser. He's the acidic Alex Jones, as somebody referred to him. I think he was arrested finally on Sunday night, but then he's already out on bail.
He's the one leading these protests.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes. So he doesn't have a beard, which troubles me. How is the leader of all of this beardless?
He's a plant, people.
Right.
He's there to discredit the conspiracy. You'd think the mole they chose to put as the leader of the Jews would at least grow a beard. They're getting lazy, people.
Well, Eric, you live in one of the hot spots where I feel like in your neighborhood it's very mask optional. How is it living in such an environment, especially in the pharmaceutical industry?
I would say there's a lot of assholes out there in my neighborhood who don't wear a mask, but luckily I'm not in the heart of the hot spot yet. We don't have any shutdowns in Brighton Beach yet. But, yeah, it's not like it's far away. But, yeah, I would say around Brighton, it's like maybe 70% people wearing masks, more or less. A lot of chin diapers. A lot of the people not covering their nose. So it's frustrating, but at least it's not as bad as Borough Park.
It's not partial credit.
Their mouth droplets aren't.
No.
But also, theoretically, they could be taking a break. You know, at least they're using it maybe.
Yeah.
At the time, whereas not even around their neck. You gotta think
that's
zero.
That's the most frustrating when I'm walking down the street and I see someone maskless, but they have the mask in their hand.
Yeah.
What did you forget? Like, what? Huh? Just in case you see a cop down the block? Like, why? What are you doing?
They think they can just, like, the mask is like just a I voted sticker.
Yes.
Like, if you have the mask, if you put it on at some point when questioned, then you're doing a good job. It's okay. Yeah. Like, no, you're coughing on everything you pass by. Fuck you.
Goddamn Heshy.
Back to Heshy.
What is Heshy short for? Herschel?
I guess. I believe someone.
Harold, I believe.
By that picture, it's the Hebrew name for Harvey Weinstein.
Right? It does.
Let's see if the original Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Harold, yeah. Harold Heshy Tischler.
Tischler.
That's the Hebrew name for the French dick.
Oh, no.
Tischler. We will not comply, one of these signs says. You know, anytime I see these, you know, there's been all these photos and all this, these neighborhoods, and I see these teen Orthodox Jews.
They already look 70.
Beyond that, this guy, he just looks like a Sopranos extra.
He does. It's so weird.
They
couldn't find a tough guy in the neighborhood, so they hired an Italian dude to come in and play the role. He's like, I ain't growing the fucking beard, though. I'll put the thing on my head. I ain't growing the fucking beard.
Oh, that's for life.
My favorite sign that I saw at any of these protests, I think it was on the news, someone had a sign that was like, hey, Cuomo, we know our amendment rights. Which, I guess I understand. I've never heard it said that way. Our amendment rights, but all right.
I mean, they're not wrong.
They're not phrasing.
That's
sure.
Great. It's not great, no.
All right. I think that's enough about the seats. How's everything else, Eric? You doing all right? No antibody?
Luckily, I have not had the COVID yet.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, we're gonna put you back on hold, but hope you stay safe.
Yeah, sure thing.
Sucks that we still have hot zones, you know?
Yeah, sure thing.
Put that mask back on, Eric. Thank you.
But yeah, so I was mentioning Mustaine, and apparently, so he's been talking so much shit. So I want to just one of the quotes in that it was actually in that video interview with Loudwire that we walked through on the show. We watched it all together. He wrote, Mustaine said that Nick said some shitty things about me at the end, especially to you guys and to Blabbermouth. And I would think, Nick, why are you doing this? I never did anything to you. I'm always fighting for you.
I didn't get enough shots in while he was alive. Gotta trample on his corpse a little bit.
And then this is where he says, when I would read that stuff that he would say about me, I would just be so hurt, because when we would do the reunion, you see Ellison tell the story. I wasn't the one that said Nick wasn't ready. Dave said that. I was really bummed about that. I wanted things to work with Nick.
Oh.
So then Nick Menz's manager, and I feel like for Nick Menz's manager to comment on this, it has to be something where, like, he obviously talked to Nick Menz's family, and they're probably so annoyed seeing all of these interviews and having all of their old mutual friends reach out and be like, can you believe what Dave said and blah, 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 that they had to say something. And so Nick Menz's manager wrote, I'm going to keep this short, brief, and to the point without teabagging anyone in the process. And
Whoa. What is that? What did he mean by that?
I think he meant sandbagging.
No, I think he meant it. I think he meant he's going to be relatively polite.
Yeah.
Like, okay. He doesn't name names, right?
Okay.
He never says Mustaine by name.
Right.
Or am I wrong?
Well, he says some of the content that's published in that book and in the press about Nick is fabricated bullshit, and to try to sell copies, nothing more, nothing less. You're right. He doesn't. Here we go. The Menza family wasn't even aware of any book in the works, asked to comment, or even offered a copy. I wonder why. Here we go. Dave and Junior. So Junior would be Ellison. Why do they call him Junior?
Because there's two Daves.
Dave and Junior were not good friends of Nick, no matter what they say now that Nick's not here to answer what's being said about him. Dave wasn't very nice to Nick towards the end before his passing. The act of betrayal is a huge blow to Nick, his family, friends, and fans. I have all the documented proof from emails to text messages that he was never published in Nick's book out of respect for the... He has all the documented proof that wasn't published in Nick's book out of respect for the integrity and legacy of the band. The truth will be displayed in two segments of the official Nick Menz documentary that's in the works. So get a little plug in there.
Shows how much you know the business. You can't print the juicy stories if he has permission. Come on. It's ridiculous.
And honestly, reading all of this, it reminded me very much of one of my all-time favorite Metal Sucks articles, which I'd like to briefly discuss right now.
Really smooching that ass there. Oh my God.
I didn't write it.
Oh, okay.
So.
it is by Emperor Rhombus, who writes under another alias at We Are the Pit now, Chris Gravatin. But it's never Dave Mustaine's fault, a comprehensive list. And all of this stuff, I feel, that is in this article, you know, is all stuff that we've discussed, but to see it all written in one list is really incredible about how he is just able to completely pass off any responsibility.
And keep in mind, when was this written? This is a couple of years ago.
In 2017.
Like, so 3 years, there's you know, we could update that probably.
There's probably so much more, especially this Nick Menza. Like, not having Nick Menza in the reunion wasn't his fault. It was Ellison's fault, it seems like, or Menza's fault for wanting too much money or whatever.
It wasn't his fault that Risk sounded like shit either. It was Marty Friedman's fault.
And then Marty Friedman, like, I think Mustaine said, I might be wrong about the details. I think I'm right. I think Mustaine said that Marty Friedman insisted on Breadline being on the album. Yeah. And Marty Friedman said, Breadline is specifically the reason I quit the band. Like,
maybe he was looking for an excuse to quit, so he insisted that be put on, so he could then quit because of
maybe that's sure. I like that.
We don't have to do the screen. I could just read it, but okay. October 2009, he blamed Roadrunner for Endgame's drop in sales, even though they promoted the hell out of the album. I remember this. I believe we talked about it because when like the next album was going to come out, he was talking about how great the new label was. December 2012, when he blamed the, quote, fuckers of the world for why the First Amendment doesn't apply to Dave Mustaine and not his own statements for being insensitive, horrible, politically backwards nonsense. August 2013, when he blamed other heavy metal musicians for metal not getting the respect it deserves. January 2014, when he blamed people misrepresenting his words, not his recorded statements expressing those words, for his current dickhead public image. And I feel like this is around the time when he was saying all those wacky things about Obama being a birther.
He called it Nazi America, Obama's Nazi America.
Right. And this was around the time of those shootings that he called false flag shootings.
And when they stopped making Twinkies, he suggested secession, as in, like, let's have a civil war over this.
Have you ever tried a Twinkie?
March 2014, when he blamed a bias against Christians and not his actual homophobic statements for him being labeled a homophobe, which is, so we went over this quote many times, which I love, where he says he's not homophobic, but he very vehemently said because he is Christian he is against gay marriage. And because he himself...
That's not what I said.
And as we discussed at great length at the time, it's like, well, you're preventing gay people from having equal rights. So in that sense, it would be considered homophobia.
But also then somebody later asked him, like, yes or no, would you support gay marriage? And his answer was, not being gay, my answer is no.
Right. Yeah. It's
weird, you can only appreciate the rights of people who are exactly like you.
Here, people think that you're anti-gay, which I'm not. I'm not gay, so when the question came up that started all this, someone said, what do you think about gay rights? And I said, dude, I'm a heterosexual man. I'm married. The gay rights fight doesn't have anything to do with me. So... being a shitty station up in, well, I won't say where it's at. The guy said that I was anti-gay, and I'm not. And so that was his like reframing. And the original question was asking Mustaine if he supported gay marriage, to which he replied, "Well, since I'm not gay, the answer to that would be no." Then the interviewer asked if Mustaine supported legislation to make marriage legal, and he replied, I'm a Christian. The answer to that would be no. So he doesn't support gay marriage, and he doesn't think it should be legal.
So it's clearly more than just him not being gay. It's because he thinks his religious beliefs oppose gay marriage.
Yeah. But it also sort of implies that if he wasn't religious, he might be gay.
I was thinking, like, any dude who starts the sentence with, I'm not gay, but is probably,
open
like, repressing
thought.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought.
If only Marty Friedman was more agreeable under certain topics. He's a very beautiful man. flowing curly locks.
This was good. January 2015, when he blamed the fans for Chris Broderick and Sean Drover being fired from the band, and then also blamed Super Collider's shittiness on the producer, which I loved. I loved when he came up with all of these excuses for Super Collider, because as it was coming out, he was saying he was praising it like the best work he's ever done. And now it's like everyone knew it was a piece of shit. It's like, no, dude, you didn't know.
Rob, I'd like to defend myself and rebut that point, please. When I said that it was the best album ever, that was before I had heard it played back for me. Thank you very much.
And then October 2015, when he blamed a guitar tech for issues at his Brisbane
the
show.
The Duke Law.
This is the Duke Law quote. Yes, yeah. We play the sound
total
all the time.
Total fucking Duke Law.
Going so far as to post a video ranting angrily about the guy calling him.
What a waste of skin and life.
I still can't. It sounds more like the impression of him than actually him.
Waste of skin and life.
What a waste of skin and life.
It's one of the rare times that he uses his studio album singing voice to speak words.
Yeah.
I have the whole clip here.
Jesus Christ.
I don't hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't hear it? Oh, I'm sorry. Here I am laughing.
When you said Jesus
it.
Christ, I thought you heard it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I was still laughing about the little piece I've heard now.
Here it is.
You guys ever have an experience where you are in a clutch moment and you have somebody there that's like your wheel man, and the guy just turns out to be a total fucking Duclaw, like a total waste of skin and life? Well, that was my guitar tech tonight, and I fired his ass, and I apologize to the people here in Brisbane. You know, we'll make it up to you sometime. I mean, maybe it'll be in Hawaii when we lure out this fat pig's ass, but I'll tell you what. You guys deserve way better than this chirp.
So they're
going to
eat him
tonight.
Because he
made it up. This is much better than what we appeared tonight. But you know what the funny thing is? He has to live with himself. And as of like right now, I will never see his stupid fucking ass again.
Yeah.
That is the funny thing, Dave. It's hilarious.
The funny thing is how mad he is about this guy he's never going to see again. See, this is why I'm so sad that his handlers got a hold of him and got him offline. Like, I miss this, Dave. I miss when he would do these live Q&As and all this stuff, because it would just be so magical.
The funniest thing is, I don't even really think it hurt him. You know, like, it kind of just, you think it did?
Well, I think, I definitely feel like all those political statements hurt him. There was definitely a dip. Like, I'm sure... it wasn't just that, like,
but was it a dip because of the political statements or because they put out Super Collider?
To the point, but also I think people just didn't want to work with him, you know,
hurting him financially. Yeah. You were talking about,
yeah.
That I have to say I don't know that it hurt him. I have to say that pumping out shitty music for like a decade probably did more to hurt his album sales than that. Wouldn't you think? I mean, who cares? Does anyone buy his album based on his political leanings?
Well, I think there was that point, though, like when he was doing all that birther stuff, that it was just like, wow, this guy's entered
off
Ted Nugent territory. Yeah.
But doesn't that attract a lot of metal fans, though? I feel like that would make him more.
No.
Of a
I don't
but
know.
But also,
I think,
like,
if that's the case, Traps would be huge.
Well, they just really, that's backing up the Super Collider Corolla.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were never good to begin with, so they're starting from way further behind.
When I was a kid and, like, Dave Mustaine was super liberal or appeared super liberal, I don't know, like, it made – he seemed cool to me. So I don't know that it would, like, attract or repel people, but I do wonder about younger, impressionable fans.
It's certainly off-putting. I won't deny that.
Yeah.
So then July 2016 – oh, I'm sorry. I skipped one. February 2016, when he blamed Metallica's, when he blamed the Metallica breakup for why fans hate him and not his attitude or un-PC statements. Which, what?
I wonder if he realizes that, like, with the amount of people who love Metallica, 98% of them don't have any idea who he is.
Yes, I agree. He really is. You really do have to, like, dive into Metallica to know the story of Dave
like,
Mustaine.
Yeah, like, this is, we all take it for granted, but this is not something that, like, frat dudes who love Enter Sandman are aware of.
Even, I would say, people, a lot of people who love Megadeth might not know who he is.
That's true, too, actually. Definitely, yeah.
A long fucking time ago.
And then after that, July 2016, when he blamed Megadeth drummer Nick Menza's dislike of him and not his inability to pay Menza the money he was owed for not being involved in Menza's tribute shows. We went over this in great detail when, unfortunately, Nick Menza passed away, because I think Megadeth was also promoting a new album. So he was doing a lot of interviews, and there was a lot of questions about, like, well, what are your memories of Nick Menza? And anytime he was asked, he never actually said anything about Nick Menza. And we were just like, do you even know Nick Menza? Because it was always, like, the memory was always about someone else.
Yeah, do we have any evidence that they were ever in the same room outside of being on a stage?
August 2016, when he hoped the band he controls entirely would have no more lineup changes.
I hope I don't have to shit can anybody anymore.
That was August, a good one.
Wait, August. We have to backtrack to the Nick Menza thing. That's how we got this clip.
Girl, guy, girl.
Yeah,
that's that right. One?
Yes, he was talking about when Menza picked up a trans woman.
I suspect we don't know that.
Yeah.
That's just his word.
August 2016, when he blamed Havoc for leaving a tour when Mustaine management gave them an unacceptable contract, and then he got pissed at Metal Sucks for reporting on it. Oh, very nice.
Is that March still around?
March 2017, when he blamed the production team for the fan backlash against Risk. I think we just mentioned that as well. So that's where this ends. There's so much more since then. It's crazy. There needs to be, like, a part two now.
But be a wiki about Dave's
What would it be called?
Wiki girl guy girl.
This is another thing. Matt, you're familiar with this. You know, we support, you know, struggling artists very much nowadays. And times are tough. Artists have to come up with new ways to generate income, and some of them do fundraisers, including our good friend Chris Holmes. You might remember Chris Holmes, most famous for that scene in Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, where he's in the pool drinking vodka.
That's sad that you're not most famous for Wasp or anything he did musically. He's most famous for that.
And then secondly, most famous for his recent string of incredible videos that he's put out. And then also he played in Wasp for a while. But so he's funding his new album on Indiegogo. It's a flexible goal of $39,147. Surprisingly, he's already had 44 backers give him $4,000. That's like an average of what?
$100
a person? Or 10 bucks a person. No, 100 bucks a person. It's not bad.
I mean, but, like, that's his whole family now. Who else
Yeah.
did you get?
So let me read this description, which is both in English and Francais. But I'll just read the English.
I prefer you read the French version.
The video is honestly, if you want to take a moment to watch,
we will.
Because the description is
Oh, it, okay. Well, just the okay. All right, let's see.
We can go past all that.
You guys can hear it, right?
Yeah, you can skip ahead.
Yeah. Oh, nice. There it is.
How do you describe this guy? He's like the old man in the hills in movies, but like real.
Yeah.
He's like if Santa Claus got fired from his job and then just became a raging alcoholic and like grew his hair out and it became like more golden as opposed to white. I think that's what it
would be. I always feel like I'm about to spot a piece of soup in his beard.
Sorry, what were you saying?
What if we say he looks like if Kevin Nash lived Scott Hall's life? Does that work?
I like that.
Formerly of Wasp, okay? I got a new band called Mean Man. And I got one record came out. Oh.
Let me just load it this way. What were you going to say?
He said formably. That's my first favorite part of the video.
Okay.
Formably of Wasp.
Oh, God.
I mean,
I got one record came out.
Wait,
okay. I got a new band called.
All right, let's try it. Get a little shredding here. Just humble.
Every actor is Chris Holmes, formerly of Wasp. Okay. I got a new band called Mean Man.
Mean Man?
Yeah, just keep it, dude. You
I
gotta,
got a new band called Me Man.
Dude,
or
you
mean
gotta.
Man. Oh,
Man.
Well, Guy
One
Man.
Came out. Oh, God. 6 years.
He's already flustered talking about his band. Oh, God.
He doesn't know when his album came out.
Neither do we.
And it's like, okay, so then stop. Do another take. Right?
Yeah, why? The moment he said formably, it is time for take. To at least get some B-roll so you have something to cut away to, you can dub it later.
6 years ago, five. Well, nothing to lose. And a new one of two, 3 years ago called Shit and Bricks. And I've been trying to finish.
He's already over it.
Oh,
he's God, so annoyed. He is the character Mike Patton is playing in the song RV. I just realized.
Where are the kids? I don't know. Maybe pregnant.
Okay, just give me money, all right?
It's the ideas that I have for the third one. And the problem is when I've run up against the wall with this COVID thing going on. Because the way I fund my... doing my records by playing live, and the money for that pays for me to play live.
I can't go out and beg for money in the street anymore, so I gotta go do it on a computer now.
Wait, listen to what he just
said. Yeah, like, we gotta go back. This last sentence is a work of art. It's a work of art.
I fund my doing my records by playing live, and the money for that pays for me to play live.
I fund my records by playing live, and the money for that funds me to play live. Wait, what? Maybe that's why you don't have money for records. You just take all the money you make when you work live and you put it back into your live shows.
I think he just disproved causality. Scientifically.
And guys, his wife is his manager.
That's
like,
the best part.
Why didn't she manage?
Therefore,
sorry, go on.
Yeah, go like ahead. You're right. His wife saw that I accidentally hit play.
I think she filmed this.
Yeah, and she was like, no, that's good. Or was she like, Chris, do you think maybe you can do one more take? That was good.
Is his wife Melania Trump?
Chris.
Did you watch the music video? That's also.
Oh,
okay.
We're
going
to get.
Sorry, we'll get to that. Okay.
I can't play live. I can't make any money to pay for the records. So that's why I'm talking to you. That's why I got
to
go.
I wouldn't talk to you otherwise.
Wait, just called it a GoFundMe.
That's why I got a GoFundMe project going.
Now, hold on a minute. Is there a second one? Because this is an Indiegogo.
Props to him for knowing two different sites.
Also, like, I wonder why they decide. Like, if he's saying, I got a GoFundMe. I guess
it's
GoFundMe.
It's labeled Chris Holmes Indiegogo campaign.
I guess GoFundMe is like more of a medical fundraiser. No, people do.
No,
people don't have to be anything.
Honestly, to this point, I'd more believe this was for a medical fundraiser.
I only got
cover
one kidney. I did a kidney fundraiser to pay for my kidney fundraiser.
Hun, which one is this? Is this the one for the liver or for the album? I can't remember.
No, Chris, the doctor said your liver was unsavable, remember?
Oh, all right. The album it is. We'll make it work.
To help me finish this record, you could say I'm asking for your help or whatever, the special record. I don't know.
Well, he's so emotionally stunted, he's embarrassed to be asking for money into a camera. Like he's not talking to anyone, and he still can't make eye contact.
You absolutely nailed it. He feels so disgusting about having to ask for money. But
because, like, this is not how things were done in the 2 years that he was a little bit famous.
Let's go back. That last line is it's very revealing.
To help me finish this record, you could say I'm asking for your help or whatever, the special record, I don't know.
Look at how his eyes
kind of... You could say I'm asking for your help or whatever, I don't know. What, you want me to say thank you, you piece of shit?
You want me to actually give you something in return for your money? Just fucking give me the money, all right?
What's the COVID done?
What's the
really
COVID done?
What that COVID done did there.
Oh, my God.
He's
what
Boomhauer.
That COVID done did to everybody. I made the shows to pay for the shows, and now COVID don't let me pay for no shows because there's no shows because of COVID.
He's like the Justin Wilson, the Cajun chef now.
What that COVID
Cajun
now.
Meth.
Cajun meth.
Put a little COVID into that gumbo, I guarantee.
No
COVID in the gumbo, please.
Say I'm asking for your help or whatever, the special record, I don't know. With the COVID done, it's really hampered me. And I'd like to finish it before 2021, you know, and get it done. So support, thank you.
Honestly, I have to say, it's a high bar, but that was Michael Shannon's best performance. Great, that guy.
That's a good call. Michael Shannon should totally play Chris
Holmes. He would.
Be honest.
So we've played Let It Roar, which is one of my all-time favorite great music videos. Let's just a quick... Getting to Gilligan's Island. We don't even have to, like, have the audio, because I don't...
The lyrics
the
are always priceless. Oh, that's good idea.
But we'll do the other one because we've played this before, but it's just him.
That's my favorite shot.
Yeah, like
his face is a pirate thing.
This is where he lives. This is this French peninsula that he lives on. And like, this is his house. And it's like, he's complaining. Look at
because of what the COVID done.
I love
you. I drink my tea.
He's got his espresso. It's
how sad. You could tell that he's on hard times now, though, because in this video, he's got two beard braids, and now he's down to only one.
There's a severe shortage of rat tails. Rat tail twist ties. And now, you missed it earlier, but there was a point where he was headbanging and then took a bite of his breadstick while headbanging. It's like, what could be more metal?
Nothing says metal like a marina.
There was that little phase, remember, in all metal videos where they were squeezing in breadsticks into every video. I don't know if you remember that.
It was because Big Breadstick was paying them off.
I would love to have seen a House Hunters International episode with him when he first moved overseas. And he's just like pricing villas.
That's great.
I don't like the open concept, man. I don't know. In a split level.
So let's play with fire. 2 days ago, a whopping.
So it, the video's mostly stock footage, and kind of hilariously selected stock footage. But then there is video of him doing his guitar solo in the middle. But it's all kind of worth. We can fast forward through it. But we should look at some of it.
What's that logo?
Oh, and the song's about coronavirus.
Oh God.
This is pretty crazy.
Does he think coronavirus caused the California orange sky thing? Is that what this is?
Mothers are crying because their children are dying. Mothers
are crying because their children are dying.
They knew it was here. It said not to fear. Oh. It looked at my face.
What's happening in that shot? Wait, go back. Somebody tell me what the fuck's going on there.
What was that?
It just started to rock.
Yeah, what? There's people standing in fog in the middle of prey? What's happening? What is this?
He's going to show where the infected bat was cut open and the red exploded there.
So poetic.
I see what the COVID done.
Oh no! That's a Seattle set.
Literally,
they just took stock footage from a Seattle set.
Whoa!
Jack Black playing Chris.
No, isn't that the
who
was that?
Keith Grimmett. Yeah, from Grim Reaper.
Grim Reaper.
Oh, is he dead from COVID or something?
No, he's singing this verse.
Oh, I thought that was a tribute, like all the roll call of everyone that died.
There are still photos of everyone who sang on the track, which gets really funny at the end.
What is it? Is this like from a Jane's Addiction video?
He literally just said, "I'm so sad, I think I'm gonna cry." That is a lyric in this song.
Might not. I don't know.
The Aurora Borealis caused COVID. That's what I'm getting.
Wait, who is it? Is this Metal Mike?
It's Tommy Bolin, I think.
Oh, okay.
From Doro's there.
We should really describe what's going on for.
I mean, you're looking at a series of random images which may or may not have anything to do with COVID.
Now it's the words future people code.
And there's a lot of fire.
Yeah. Lightning.
Lightning. A guy with spinning a fire stick thingy.
Yeah, that
sort of
that's
looks like Lynch Bailey.
Yeah, but like a guitar solo footage.
What? That's the lady running in sports bra.
Where? What is COVID specific like lyric?
Everything. It was like we were talking over all of it.
Oh.
People are dying. It's so sad. It's making me cry. And some shit like
it's so sad. Look at this.
My son's life of Ryan.
Oh my God.
I love. Okay.
First of all,
so. For audio listeners, it's a guitar solo, and now it's Chris Holmes behind like a fire, like
that's not a real fire,
the tiniest fireplace fire you have ever seen.
I don't think it's even that. I think it's a filter.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, but here's the kicker: Chris Holmes recorded his solo on his phone, and the reason that I know it's on his phone is he didn't even bother putting it into fucking landscape mode. It's in portrait mode, so then the outer borders is stock footage of fire. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
And then it's gonna cut to a stock shot of some dude dancing in front of another fire that's like clearly not Chris Holmes.
Also, in the next shot, he's got a dog face and a tongue sticking out. No, I think the fire is in the video. Like,
you do?
I don't know.
You think they just made a little fire?
It's like out of focus and it follows
I think
him.
It's there on purpose so we don't see that he's not actually doing that solo.
He does at one point like drop his hand and wave it at the camera when the audio is still going. It's pretty funny.
What is this
and what
now?
Is that? Yeah. Here, Look, he's waving his hand, but if you could hear it, he's in fact supposed to be playing.
I think you guys are all wrong. I think that's the Firefox logo icon on his phone. That's showing.
And then this is the singer for the closing verse.
Oh.
And fun thing about this singer who sings over We the People, first of all, that's Europe. Second of all, as you can probably tell from his accent, this dude's Canadian.
Also,
these are all the backing vocalists. Wait, the last one is truly like next level amazing. And nope, not yet.
What? Is that someone's realtor?
Yeah, that's the lady who found his
house. Wait.
I love that they don't even add like Ken Burns effects to these two.
Where the hell is the last one? There's one last photo of a backing singer, and it's the best one.
Is this from the Black Panther?
No. There.
Oh my god, those eyebrows!
Alla Pugachova's granddaughter.
We know such a bad stuff. Is that Ben Affleck? That baby's playing the time.
That baby, Chris Holmes.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, where's the vodka bottle?
Written
/ composer.
So it took me multiple views to figure out those photos were of the people singing. For a long time, I was like, why is there just this random photo of this woman at the very end of the video?
What made you realize it?
Recognizing Steve Grimmett from Grim Reaper's photo.
I just thought that was a younger picture of Chris Holmes.
It does look kind of like Chris Holmes.
Greg the Hammer Valentine, perhaps.
Or a nasty boy. Barry Sags.
I would think more like Mr. Perfect.
You're being too kind.
Would not. Yeah, I guess you're right, actually.
After he let him, if he had lived long enough to let himself go.
Yeah.
Sure. Curtis.
Well, before we move on, I do want to mention, before we move on, I'd like to mention that Sweden's Amaranth has released their sixth album, Manifest. It was produced, mixed, and mastered by Jacob Hansen in Denmark, best known for working with the great Volbeat. Volbeat. No, it's Volbeat. But check out the quarantine single Viral and the female empowered duet with Amaranth singer Elise and Battle Beast singer Nura in Strong, plus other dynamic metal hits by streaming Manifest now on your favorite streaming platform. Visit nuclearblast.com to order this record on CD or limited color vinyl. Amaranth Manifest, out now. So there we have it. That was a little interesting situation. And let's ask Eric, are you a fan of Chris Holmes? Are you playing with fire, Eric? All right, I guess not. But 213,
he had to hang up so he could go donate to that Indiegogo.
Oh, that makes sense. 213, why not, is the number. That's 213-943-3688. And what else is going on in the world? Oh, I did want to play this very important clip because I'm pretty sure it's about one of you guys. So let me just cue this up very quickly. And then we could. Okay. Let's see. Get the share screen. Okay.
Moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges. But I can tell you right now, you asked the producer for me to read that, didn't you? To Ethan now, please.
No.
Oh, Ethan.
Oh, my God.
That was amazing.
I just love how she comes to realize what's going on. But she's still professional enough to keep reading.
I love that
it, don't fuck around.
Of course it happened in Wichita. Fucking assholes.
Responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic.
They should have pressed charges after he took the shit.
Yeah.
How bad it was.
I mean, there's been plenty of shits that I took where I feel like I could have been arrested.
Could have been domestic terrorism.
Yeah, like, oh my goodness.
So who are you accusing of us of being the culprit here?
Exactly. Well, it could be. Well, see, with Sid, it wouldn't be in a Home Depot. I would say this is more of a Darren situation. The Sid would make it to the Home Depot.
It's true.
I
would have taken a shit in the parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's it's more because of Sid's past behavior than yours, Darren.
I thought you said I'd more likely go into Home Depot or something.
Well, Home Depots traditionally have very clean bathrooms. Is that right?
They also, like, was it a Home Depot? Like, remember in that Jackass movie where he goes to the toilet store and shits in one of the toilets in the store?
Yeah.
Was that a Home Depot?
I don't know. No, I think it was like a mom and pop.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Mom and plop, you mean. Am I right?
Also, it's crazy. It's been a week since Eddie Van Halen died. Like, he died a week ago today. It was right before the show started.
That's right.
I have been listening to a lot of Van Halen. And I actually put on the album they put out in 2015. The one...
Different Kind of Truth.
The one with Chris Holmes guesting.
Oh, my God.
And it's good. There's like some, I mean, it's not like great, but there's a few jams.
Most of it is like they reworked demos that they had rejected from old albums back in the day. So it's like kind of new, but not, you know what I mean? Like,
is that true, or are you just saying
yeah.
It sounds like that? Oh.
No. Like, they literally did that for a substantial chunk of the record. And I think that's part of why it turned out so, like, if Slayer had done that, the last Slayer record might have been a lot better.
Right. Yeah, I think that really made it work, because it is almost like a throwback record.
Yeah.
Like, cause I'm sure Eddie Van Halen wouldn't write like that now. You know, he's 30,
well, no,
40 years
old. Well, no,
because
he's dead now, Rob.
Well,
fucked up.
And it really made me think, like, was Valerie Bertinelli that big of a star in the 80s?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, like, she was huge, right? Like, it really feels like it was a very famous, like, romance, right? Like, the famous rock star dating the famous actress.
I think she skyrocketed in fame after she hooked up with him, though. Like, she was on a TV show, but she wasn't
because
like a box
she was
office
with,
movie.
I think they were both pretty famous.
She was famous, but I feel like that I don't remember her being like. She was never in a major movie. Like, she did TV movies.
She was I think she was a soap star, wasn't she?
Yeah.
One Day at a Time.
Day at a Time.
Right. Yeah, it was One Day at a Time. But I think that's what's interesting. Yeah, like, I'm sure that her dating the guitarist in the most famous band in the world at the time probably helped her star as well. I found this old. I've been like downloading and looking at like old Eddie Van Halen clips on YouTube, just like old interviews and stuff like that. And I found there was an old Entertainment Tonight
rapport with him and her. And it's so crazy. Like, the way the media portrayed their love story, it just feels like an 80s sitcom. It feels like they had such an 80s sitcom relationship. Let me play this old Entertainment Tonight clip. Look at how wonderful they look with the headband that Valerie is wearing and the striped shirt that he's wearing. Whose mullet is better? I would say Eddie has the better mullet here.
It's too Bon Jovi.
I'm star Valerie Bertinelli and her rock and roll husband, Eddie Van Halen.
Her rock and roll husband.
Yeah, she's the star and he's the husband.
Yeah, she was a big deal.
Tonight.
Yeah.
The odds of Hollywood marriages lasting are pretty slim these days,
Dixie
particularly
Watley,
considering
oh
the long working
Dixie
hours
Watley.
And the time apart. But Valerie Bertinelli and Eddie Van Halen are trying to beat those odds, as I found out when I visited with them.
Spoiler alert, they did not.
She's the straight-laced beauty from the long-running sitcom One Day at a Time.
Oh, I think that was part of it, too, right? Because she played, like, the goody two-shoes, and she's dating a bad boy.
Which is funny. Go on.
He's the lead guitarist for his rock group, Van Halen. They seem to come from different worlds, so when these two teen idols decided a year ago to marry, many of their fans and friends said it wouldn't work.
I wanted you to also point out how much Eddie coughs during this interview. It's hard to watch that part of it.
He's a young here,
to be
too.
So
like.
Different. Valerie, your tag's a goody two-shoes, and the rock world is supposed to be so insane.
That's, you just said the key word, supposed to be. I mean, I see more insane people in the TV world than I have in his world. I mean, you know, and he just...
I'll verify that.
He lived with his parents when I met him. I mean, come on.
Okay, that's enough.
Although they were affectionate and happy in front of our camera, reports have recently come out saying the marriage is in trouble, with Eddie's fast-paced lifestyle and rock friends
shot.
Driving Valerie
what
crazy.
His rock friends.
They're grief. Like, they must get him from down under.
Like
I mean, that's
Hall.
The only place that they
fucking
can find
Gene
him.
Smith coming over at
I'm
all hours.
They have a problem with thinking that we're actually very happy and normal and enjoy our privacy and enjoy being together. You know, I guess it bothers some people. I don't... Doesn't bother me. I enjoy being happy, you know. I wouldn't have anything else.
But the pressure to be happy. Both people are in the public eye, so it's not surprising that these two found one of their happiest moments away from Hollywood and their $500,000 home.
100%.
We took off one weekend a while ago.
All right, and then they talk about how they
took
just
off
went
on a spur of the
cabin,
moment, went to Big Bear.
The best time, it was just a shitty cabin. Bless their hearts. But it didn't
they
work
were married
out
for 26 years. That's
yeah, they it
good.
Did last a long. I'm just being yeah. a dick. I'm just.
And
I just,
think
if I see an easy mean joke, I can't not.
Oh, I just come on, preaching to the choir.
Yeah, you don't have to tell us, but yeah, I think the reason she left him too is just because he wouldn't stop smoking. It wasn't like, it wasn't.
Is that true?
I believe so. Yeah, because he started smoking again after having sort of throat treatment.
He had tongue cancer a long time ago. Like,
yeah.
And then I guess, you know, whatever. Surprisingly, or not surprisingly, rather, like, paradoxically, Van Halen music is super upbeat. So I've been listening to all this really, really, like, hey.
Yeah.
Somebody online described it as, like, every Van Halen song is a dog in sunglasses on a skateboard.
Pooch.
Yeah.
It really is very, I've been listening to a lot of the David Lee Roth stuff. Do you like the Hagar stuff or the Gary Cherone?
The Gary Cherone stuff is bad. Really bad. The thing is, when I was first getting into metal, Sammy Hagar was the singer. Mm-hmm. So I have like a spot for some of that era, for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge in particular, but for the most part, like, no, who the fuck wants to listen to?
Yeah,
but he's got some good stuff. Like, I got to give him his due. He's got some good stuff.
No, there's good, but to me, anytime the Sammy stuff comes up, I'm just like, this is so like dad rock. I don't
it
know.
Feels
I'm
like
of the age to be listening to dad rock, certainly, but it just doesn't. It's not as like edgy.
It feels like a different band.
Yeah.
And
it
like
an older band.
Yes. And like you listen to the first song on For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge is the song Pound Cake, which is, there's a lot of that album, the initials spell fuck, obviously. And like there's a lot of attempts on that album. I feel like somebody from the label was like, let's make Sammy sexy. Dave was sexy. Let's see if we can make Sammy sexy. And it's not, it's just like, I like that album, but it's just, it comes off being silly. I mean, he's comparing women to pound cakes.
Yeah, David can get away with that.
Yeah.
I like seeing you snap your fingers.
Thanks.
As well. It's very nice.
That's what I'm here for.
The record executive part of the whole the oeuvre. You know,
hey, we got to make him sexy. Coked up 80s A&R guy.
And also, though, I think we might have breached on this. It just further illustrates that metal is getting very old and not regenerating. Where are the
not new regenerating?
Eddie? Where are the new Eddie Van Halen?
Isn't it your job to find them, Rob?
I'm looking. I haven't found
them. Even, you know, forget a new Eddie Van Halen and settle for,
a new Wayne Shepherd. How about that?
Relax. We're not there yet. Even like, you know, yeah, it's not regenerating. It just feels like somebody needs to give it a kick in the ass or something.
I feel like there needs to be more metal pop bands, pop metal bands, kind of, where it's like a heavy band, but people who are afraid of metal can listen to it. I think that's
good ones.
Yeah, good ones. Yeah,
not
exactly.
Not Five Finger Death Punch.
Or like pop stuff, like Kill stuff. What's that? Pop Kills? I don't know.
Oh, Pop Evil?
Pop Evil, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like bands that everyone agree are good. Like, you know, Dave Grohl has his haters, but people, like most people,
yeah,
agree Foo Fighters are objective. They have objectively good songs. And there haven't really been bands like that.
The guy at the bar who doesn't like AC/DC, everybody knows, is kind of a dick.
Kind of contrary. AC/DC is another, because it's like this promotional push for their new album is so over the top, and it's so they're throwing so much money at this promotion, and I'm just like, what modern metal band would any label ever? I mean, not that you could argue AC/DC is not a metal band; they're a rock band, sure, but like, what modern rock band even would any label throw this much power behind? No pun intended.
Purr.
Yeah, there's no. Oh, purr. I'm surprised that the title doesn't have rock in the title, nor does the first single have rock in the title. It's like, what's going on, AC/DC?
They're getting old, Rob. They're getting old. I question if it's. Look, I'm grateful for the advertising money.
Oh, absolutely.
I question if that's even necessary. I feel like if you put an AC/DC logo and a release date against a black background, everyone will get it, or everyone who's gonna get it will get it.
Mm-hmm. It's like advertising Bud Light.
Exactly.
But I think also it's just, yeah, but it's just, they know they're gonna make so much money,
yeah,
on this, that they're like, all right, well, let's take 1% of it and spend it on advertising.
Yes, that's fair. Because especially with, like, there's no torque.
I think that's part of the reason why they're probably doing a bigger advertising push, because the tour was the ad, like doing the radio interviews and you know, promoting the tour, that would have promoted the album. But now they don't have that, probably have to double up on the ads. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass. I'm not like talking with any inside knowledge of their strategy, but I would imagine for a band that level, they already have healthy budgets, and with no touring, the label's probably like, let's throw a little, you know, their label isn't like some tiny boutique. It's fucking Sony.
Right.
They got
just to get those five guys in a room together, you have to spend like $3 million.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's crazy too, is the producer said he didn't know who would be showing up until the first day of recording. Also just how secretive they are with who's in the band and whatever.
Which is silly, because
is it secretive, or did they also not know?
That's fair. It's not going
to
be.
You got to live to get to the studio. Tough times.
Axel, you made it your background. I do want to say the Eddie Van Halen design is like one of, if not the most iconic design in rock music. It's so nice and simple and still exudes the attitude of the genre. Like I really, really genuinely love it.
It's great. Yeah, it's iconic. It's like you see it and you immediately know what it is.
Yeah, I actually got a pair of board shorts with the design. I'm excited to wear them next summer for the next season as a Van Halen tribute.
Next season of boarding?
You think we'll still be here?
I mean, I'm cool with it either way.
Okay.
If we're not, I had a good run.
If you're going out, you're going out in style.
Yeah, I'm going out in my board shorts.
My Eddie Van Halen board shorts.
Jams.
Yeah. I mean, as long as it's like quick, you know, like a nice meteor or something, that'd be nice.
Don't count on that.
No, just saying. Probably COVID.
It's gonna be germs from Heshy Tischler. Taking you out, buddy.
Gall's airborne COVID is coming.
USA. USA.
I did wanna you know, on the topic of the election, play a quick little clip of something that I saw this morning from, because I guess Donald Trump had a rally last night. And then the guy still has coronavirus. I'm talking slowly because I'm trying to load the clip.
They're saying that he's tested negative 2 days in a row, but nobody believes them.
I believe that he tested negative. I don't necessarily believe that he had it in the first place.
Mm, fair.
That could be the case too. I definitely don't believe that he had it and got rid of it in 4 or 5 days or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that if he did have it, it comes back.
I had a mild version of it and it took 2 weeks.
You did?
Yeah.
Well,
so
how do you think you got it?
Oh, my girlfriend and I both got it like immediately because we were idiots. Because we were like, all these people wearing masks. And then we got it. We were like, oh, okay, we get it.
That's very intellectually honest of you, though.
Yeah. Well, this was like back in, this was just literally like just as lockdown was started.
I
think that's
excusable.
In our very meager defense.
You mean like when everyone, both sides of the government, was saying masks are not that big of a deal and don't.
Exactly. Yeah, you're actually. I blame our leaders. No, yeah, we didn't take it seriously. We paid for it pretty quickly.
Okay, so here's this clip. So now he said he's beaten it. And I, you know, here's why I do.
Wait, he's beaten it in the clip?
Yes.
What kind of rally is this?
It's Florida, man.
This will surely sink Trump.
The reason that I do think that he may have had it, one reason for saying he did have it, I should say, is he seems so hopped up. And I don't know if it's steroids or amphetamines or what.
Could be
you even hear it in his voice. He is so high right now.
And he looks abnormally shitty even by his standards, I feel like.
Yeah, so that's why I think he may have had it. And he's just one of the side effects of these steroid intakes is delusions of grandeur. So I think he just feels like he's stronger than ever, but it's a false feeling, you know? So here's this is the most absurd clip out of this fucking rally yesterday. And it's completely apolitical. I think everyone on both sides of the aisle can enjoy this clip.
Get out there, get out. One thing with me, the nice part. I went through it. Now they say I'm immune. I feel so powerful. I'll walk into that audience. I'll walk in there. I'll kiss everyone in that audience.
He sounds like he's threatening me. I'll walk in there. I'll kiss everyone. All right, kids.
Dude, it's Sanford, Florida. Like, what the fuck do you expect?
That's what Goldust used to say. Remember when he would cut promos?
Oh, if you don't shut up, I'll kiss every last one of you.
I'll kiss everyone in that audience. I'll kiss the guys and the beautiful women and everybody. I'll just give you a big fat kiss. No, but there is something nice. I don't have to be locked up in my basement, and I wouldn't allow that to happen anyway. I wouldn't allow it to happen. But if you want.
Yeah, he wouldn't allow even to be in a hospital for any longer. I got to say one good thing about that clip. They finally found people to wear the black Trump shirt that are actually black this time.
Well, it's always that one guy.
But there's always like photos of white people wearing those shirts.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
At almost every rally.
Every time I think about it, every time I hear, don't lock yourself in a basement and say, I'm not going to bother with the world. You got to get out, and it's risky. It's risky, but you got to get out.
Why? What? Doesn't make sense. Anyway, we don't have to go through this. But that was the best one. I hope his suffering ends soon. You know?
Would you like to elaborate on that?
No, take that as you will.
Okay. Fair enough.
But we'll see. The election is now. Oh, is it 3 weeks from today? Is that?
Yes.
Is that,
correct.
Oh, I can't wait. And we're broadcasting on election night. But we're going to be done before the results are over. The last election.
The results aren't going to be available till December.
Yeah. We'll be done with like 3 extra episodes by the time we might have results.
There may be a civil war before we have results.
Next week might be our last episode due to the war.
Why do you say that?
Oh, just, you know, we'll all be bombed to bits.
Oh, good, because I have a dentist appointment on the 19th, and I really don't want to go to it.
Mm.
Well, no, that's before our next episode, though, so sorry. You have to.
Oh, wait. Oh, God damn it. Is that enough cancellation time? They might still charge you.
Oh, no. God damn.
Now I'm not even going to get you to enjoy the one thing about the war.
Ridiculous.
I do love that... I'm now thinking back to the 2016 election and like how we were kind of gloating that, you know, like, oh, well, Hillary's going to have it. You know, Hillary did it.
Who's
we?
I wasn't gloating that. I mean, I feel either one of them was
going to win. I'm sorry. No, we weren't gloating that Hillary was going to win.
We were
pretty sure she was going to win. We were gloating how bad Trump was going to lose it. And then
at the point we were doing the show, it was like all like more red state results that we're in. So we're like, oh, don't worry. Once the blue states start coming in, it's going to be a landslide. It'll be fine.
And then literally a half hour after we ended the show, you know, I'm driving back home from the studio. Sid texts me like, holy shit, dude. He may have won like, I forget what state, but it was like a big state. And it was like, this could be a problem.
Yeah.
And here we are 4 years later.
But it's all right now because we have someone who's exactly the same as Hillary Clinton, but more senile and more evil. So it's going to be a landslide. No problem.
Yeah. It should be all right. Well, thankfully, he isn't running again. He's running against an incumbent Trump.
He's running against Trump, who had 4 years to give people a reason to vote for the more evil person.
Even if he loses, he's going to contest the election.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that there's no happy ending to this. Somebody's going to be upset and incited to violence.
Yeah.
And I think it's another thing to point out is regardless of who wins, it's like almost, it's probably an 80 to 90% certainty that Trump will be ahead in counted votes at the end of Tuesday night. Probably.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
So regardless of who actually wins, he will declare a victory.
Yeah,
because so many of the people who are voting for Trump are just going to go out and not wear masks and go to the voting booth. And so many of the people that are voting for Biden are going to mail their ballots in. So it's going to take way longer to count them.
I see. Well, some of the places count the ballots before. But
you're predicting that more blue votes will come in the next day.
Well,
those votes will be counted later.
Put it this way, Biden would have to win like an electoral landslide for him to be ahead on Tuesday night. I would say.
Yeah.
I don't think that's anywhere near going to happen.
No.
Hooray!
We'll see.
What happened? What did I miss?
No, just
USA.
I thought your cat walked into the game or something.
No, he's.
I'd vote for your cat, Sid.
I would too if he was on the ballot. Lazy fuck couldn't get the signatures. Just too busy licking his own asshole.
Piece of shit.
Wait, Donald Trump is your cat?
What else? What else is going on in the world? Anybody have any life stories going on? Anything going on in their in their existence that they'd like to share?
Do you?
Talk to Rob Halford.
I did talk to Rob Halford. That was very nice.
Tell us about that.
I did a Zoom interview with Rob Halford. He was delightfully polite and wonderful and thoughtful in his answers.
Are you surprised by this? Did you expect him to
no,
be
no.
impolite?
I mean, I was trying not to be too starstruck. But it was fun.
Did you toss some softballs, or you actually get in there and ask him something?
I don't think I did. Well, first we talked about Eddie Van Halen because, you know, I wanted the blogs to pick up the quotes. And then I talked to him about stuff from his book and stuff. I talked about the future of metal as well. You know, like, oh, who's going to be next Eddie Van Halen? And Rob was, in fact, optimistic. He says that there's plenty of people. Metal's bigger than ever. And I know someone will come along because they have to.
But he didn't actually name anyone specific that's out there now.
Thor Shredstein.
Has Thor weighed in on the death of one of his biggest rivals?
I believe Thor said something to the line of, I'm sorry, he's gone. He owed me $30. Something like that.
Coke? Outstanding Coke debt?
Yeah, baby. Maybe Thor gave him a bump and then he charged him for it. He wouldn't give it to him for free.
My original name was Thor Van Shredstein, and I had to change it at the last minute because of that punk.
Oh, whoop de doo, we got a Dutch shredder. Where have I heard that before? Right here.
I got a Dutch oven for the Dutch shredder. Come and get it.
Where is Thor's Indiegogo campaign?
Thor is now launching a GoFundMe on Pinterest to fund my drive.
He's asking for your help or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I need like a Fanta budget. I don't know.
I need Fanta to give you to go on stage, to pay for my Fanta, to go and play shows,
to pay for shows,
and to pay for Fanta.
Thor, typically, I don't know if you know how GoFundMe works. Usually, I mean, not always, but usually the person giving the money would get something in return.
Yeah, you get to give Thor Shredstein money. That's what you get to do.
Also, in and of itself, the giving of the money is the gift that you give.
Me accepting your money is what you get.
I see.
That's Thor's promise to you. Thor's down on tough times.
He had COVID three times. Just refuses to wear a mask, keeps going out on the Jersey Shore.
Heck, I'm up to COVID-21 now.
I had him on a ventilator. He plugged his guitar into it.
Thor is always ahead of the curve. He's got.
Thor demanded to be able to practice in his hospital room, and the hospital did not like it.
That ventilator has sick tones, though.
Yeah, you put in a nice crybaby into that ventilator. Oh, the tones.
Wait, did he unplug his own ventilator or did he unplug someone else?
What are you crazy? Thor's not unplugging his own ventilator.
No, he's going to unplug someone else's ventilator.
More is 87 years old. He lived the life. I could use his ventilator.
I could have gone either way, Thor, with that, because I could have seen you unplugging your own ventilator, believing that COVID was a hoax. And that you didn't.
No, you see, I left the hospital. Thor doesn't have medical insurance, so Thor didn't.
Were you at the same hospital
rather,
as Chris Christie?
Thor would rather self-medicate. I was there with Chris Christie. Me and Chris go way back. We played many softball games together. And let me tell you, Chris Christie knows some good coconuts.
Wasn't it tight in that room with Chris Christie? Those hospital rooms aren't that big.
The air was tight after all the fucking farting Chris Christie did. Jeez, what is in that guy's diet?
Mm-hmm.
Just has steak wraps all day. It smells like, jeez Louise.
Now we know why that beach was so empty when he was there. With his
Have a little side salad, buddy.
He didn't even that was fake news about the law that he you know, like he closed the beach and went there. He just cleared everyone out with farts.
No, see, what it was he wanted an exclusive beach performance from Thor Shredstein. He didn't want anyone in his sight lines. And Thor said, all right, you got
to
pay me. And he did. So I was on that beach with him and his moose knuckle.
Oh, yeah.
The man with very tight pants.
I mean, any pants would be tight.
And Thor wants to remind everyone to wear a mask. Wear a mask. Make sure to wear your mask when you go outside.
Now, I don't want to interrupt Thor, but if I could talk to Rob again for a second.
Yes.
So you interviewed Rob Halford.
Yes.
You were also the interviewee of one of our former guests.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was interviewed by Sean Sirianni, a.k.a. Josh Evan Groban, for longtime listeners. He has a podcast called The Creative Imbalance, and it's really good. He talks about, you know, he talks to people about being creatives, and I'm creative. No. So he talked to me about starting Metal Injection and also doing the podcast and stuff like that. And it was a fun interview, and I tell my Dave Grohl story again, which is always very fun for me to go through. So anytime anyone asks, I know the whole spiel.
Name dropper. Oh, excuse me.
We're just friends, you know. We don't follow each other on Twitter. I don't have his phone number. You know, we're friends.
Don't follow
each other,
I understand him not following you, but you don't follow him?
Oh, I follow him, but he doesn't follow me back.
I tried to act all cool for a second there.
I don't have to act cool, Sid. I just am.
Is that Rob or Thor?
Cool. That's me.
Agree to disagree.
Oh. What else is going on in the world? I want to point out that I hate the Lakers now, just because of how many people are suddenly Lakers fans because they won the NBA championship. It's like, all right, we get it. I'm done. I'm done with the Lakers. I'm done with you.
Where are you seeing bandwagon Lakers fans?
A lot of social media bandwagon Laker fans, too many of them. We don't need them.
All right.
How well did the Knicks do this season?
They were one of the worst teams in basketball.
Worse than the Nets?
Oh, yeah. The Nets made the playoffs. The Knicks didn't even get invited to the bubble. They were so bad. So, no.
Oh, and what's going on with the NFL? Do a lot of people have the COVID? Or are they? Are their games not being played?
A couple of games canceled and rescheduled, but there's like no team's been shut down for like 2 weeks or anything like that would happen in baseball.
Nice. And with concerts, nothing's going on. I miss the days of concerts where you had to buy a hot dog to get in and not have to wear a mask. That was a fun 2 weeks.
What happened with that place? Any updates on that story?
What was it called?
Did it have a weird name? Like Schachter's or something? Like, what was it called?
It was Tischler's.
Heshy Tischler's?
That's Heshy. Right. That's Heshy. Why he's mad. Shut down this fucking club.
Fucking Cuomo.
I did check recently, and they're not doing shows, but they are doing outdoor eat, like restaurant.
Rob, what if like this weekend we went there for lunch just to see if they recognized you and tried to assault you? Like, there's that motherfucker that wrote about him. Get him.
So now, do you have to go there and listen to shitty music in order to eat a chili dog?
Yes.
It's all come full circle.
Fair is fair.
Maybe it changed. Hold on. I know that the owner of the restaurant sent me a friend request.
Ooh. Coupon, maybe? Free chili dog?
No, I just did not accept her friend request.
Oh, jerk.
We don't need to be friends.
That's a long way to schlep for a free chili dog.
Yeah.
It better be one hell of a chili dog.
Even how hard is it to make your own chili dog?
Yeah, for real.
Oh, I think I might have canceled her her friend request because it's no longer in my queue.
Sad.
It is sad. That would have been a good bit. Oh, well.
I mean, we could still go there. Just film it. Do some on-site reporting.
I don't know. I'd rather just go to Roller Roaster and give them my money.
Fair.
I missed that place.
Do a bang bang.
No. No.
All right.
No. Axel, have you gone into Manhattan? How's Manhattan now? Is it over?
I've been going into Manhattan a bunch because my mother lives there. It's the same as it is here. Some places are really crowded. Some places are not so crowded. I Chinatown was really crowded the other day, so that was interesting to see. The guys selling fake purses are all wearing face masks, like dutiful bootleggers.
Nice.
Right here.
I was in the LES. It was pretty, it was actually surprisingly very, you know, maskified. I feel like I hardly saw anybody walk around with that. A few, there's always a few, but.
Yeah, when I'm in Manhattan, I feel like they're the ones taking it the most seriously.
That's the only time I've been to Manhattan the last 6 months.
I've only been a handful of times, but and it does feel a little reduced capacity, but not like that much. It's fine.
I went to the Lower East Side a couple weeks ago on the weekend, and it felt like it was a normal fucking day. Mm-hmm. There was like outdoor and indoor dining at all these places, and they were fucking jam packed. There were people like one of the I was on, I think it was Avenue B, and one of the blocks was like shut down. So there was like people just dancing in the street. It was like a fucking carnival. It was terrifying. Like, I mean, like the people out, like the way they had it set up, there was like the middle of the sidewalk you could walk. But then on either side of you, there were people outdoor dining. And while they're sitting there, they're not wearing masks and they're like facing towards you. So if you're walking down the street, like,
yeah, that's
rough.
It's brutal. Also, gallery. Yeah, even it's like that around here too. It's they're just on the sidewalk with the tables. They're not wearing masks, and like the distance between us is like 2 feet.
Yeah,
so stupid.
That's rough.
I'm over it, folks.
Over it.
But before we get out of here, I would like to send a big shout out to our top Livecast fans of the week. And of course, you can be a top Livecast fan of the week by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And I would note that for $5 a month, you get access to our bonus episodes, which this month, the first bonus episode is Trick or Treat. We do a watch along of the movie with Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne. And later this week, on Thursday, I believe, I will be uploading, what's the other one? Cannibal Holocaust.
Yes.
Which is just a brutal movie in every sense of the word.
Can I just say one thing about Cannibal Holocaust?
Had none of you seen it before?
No, I had not. I had seen it, but it was a transformative experience simply because before watching it with the three of you, I never realized how much disco was in this movie. And the fact that we had like a running thread through this film of making fun of disco songs from the 70s was one of the unexpected joys of watching Cannibal Holocaust with you.
Possibly the only joy.
Sorry, right there?
Go ahead. No. It was a pure joy and delight. There was a lot of things to make fun of in that film.
What was your thought on the film, Axel?
Oh, Axel.
I haven't seen it in years, but I remember having a blast at the time. I mean, it's not like a good movie, but it was a fun movie. Okay. But I was 16, maybe.
Yeah, it's a fun watch one time.
And make that time with us.
Yes, on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast.
Did we add a new shirt?
We did add a new shirt.
Patreon only shirt?
Yes. We have a Patreon exclusive shirt at our $35 tier. And, here, I have it pulled up right here. Let me show it to the folks that are able to watch it on our Patreon.
Yeah.
I hang out and stretch with the Metal Injection Livecast. It's a very nice design, very nice shirt, very nice, very respectable. Like, I think people will see you wear this and think, that's this guy I want to hang out with, or a girl, or a person. So you can get all that at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. But now it is, in fact, time to leave. Time to say goodbye.
For now.
But I can't find the MP3. But I do want to give a shout out to our top Livecast fans of the week. And I'm going to do it as Thor Shreds Day.
Nice.
Got to leave. Got to say goodbye. Look at that pig. Now that was a wonderful moment. Eric,
won't be long till I see you guys.
That,
a little bit long. Cause I know.
This is Thor Shredseed here, and I want to tell this Eric fella, stop giving your money to the Metal Injection Livecast. Give it to Thor Shredseed. Robert Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin, you can give your money to the Livecast. It sounds like you have enough to give to the Livecast and the Thor Shredseed. Benjamin, you should probably just stick to the Metal Injection Livecast. I don't want anybody supporting Thor Shredseed with the name Benjamin. Then we got El Dude Reno. I've seen this guy on my shows. Back off, buddy. Back off. Dan off. What does the R stand for? And it better be cocaine. Cattle decaf. Thor does not drink anything decaf. Get out of there. Put your cattle decaf on espresso as far as Thor is concerned. Mindy Mayer's Kipper. Now you sound like a good accountant. Croc Destroyer. Yeah, that's what they call me. Wait, no, that's not right. Sam I Am I Is. That's very confusing, but you should donate to Thor's GoFundMe because Thor needs money to play shows so Thor can have money to play shows. Janda, thank you very much for your donation to the Metal Injection Livecast, but not thank you for not donating to the Thor Shred team. Shasur Sassusit, what is this name, Shasur Sassusit? What are you doing to Thor? Thor doesn't like making his tongue twist that way, so Thor doesn't like you. But LaCroix, listen to me, LaCroix, you sound too much like that crap Seltzer knockoff that's trying to insult my Santa, and Thor will not stand for it. But Thor will stand for the crustacean sensation, a.k.a. God Stomper. That sounds like a man that eats his shrimp with the shell on. Then we got Ash Boswellhoff. Ash Boswellhoff. Who knows? Get a better last name, Ash. Then we got Dallas. Listen, I got so many young, beautiful women in Dallas. Dallas, we got to hang out with my Dallas girl.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Vampiro. You sound like somebody I do not want to hang out with. Rob is a terrible name. I don't like anybody named Rob. Shane. I like it. One syllable, easy. Hugo likes tacos. Thor likes tacos. So what? What do you think? You're special? You're not. Unless you donate to Thor's campaign, then you're special. Then we got Here Goes. Here goes what? Here goes what? Then we got, hey guys, it's Josh. Well, hey Josh, it's Thor. All right. That's that. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want to send a big thanks to Axel Rosenberg. Hit up metalsucks.net.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
It's an absolute pleasure. We are out of here. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Noah will be back with us. See if travels to her.
He hasn't he hoped.
And until then, see you later.
Bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Matt.
That was
great. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. See you soon.
Bye.